Hello, greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Quantum Conversations, aka QC. We've reached the season finale, or final if you're in the UK. I don't know, Paul, which one do you prefer, season finale or final?
I kind of like finale, you know, it's got a little pizzazz.
Me too. The grand final just seems very, I don't know, it seems a bit, but you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but I do prefer the grand finale, the season finale.
Anyway, I do too.
I do too. All right, good. We've got consensus there. So as before we get distracted and go off many tangents, my name is Nyusha, the show's brainchild host, aspiring and fastidious sound editor. With me is my cool as a cucumber co-host and a man of short quips and bon mots. Hello, Pa. How are you doing?
Hello, Nyusha. I am well, thank you. It's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to this episode. This is a fun topic, a look back at season one. Yeah,
it is. And it's been a little while since we've last connected, so I'm
it
sure
has.
There are things that we're going to reflect back on, because we've had now the time to sort of, I don't know, ruminate is probably not the right word, be introspective about, be introspective.
Be introspective, yes. and even gain perspective with a bit of time in between.
Correct. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it should be a fun one. So for those of you who've listened to a couple of our episodes, you will know that we like to talk about all kinds of topics, unravel them, look at things from different angles, and whenever possible, consider what might be overlooked, not taken into account, conveniently omitted, or even maybe intentionally redacted. Although, Paul, I'd say that so far the topics we've covered haven't really been redacted. It's not like we've made a FOIA request for papers,
for
documents, unless you know something that I don't.
No, I know nothing.
That's what a person who's got something to hide would say.
Right. Well, as they like to say in Ireland, whatever you say, say nothing.
Whatever you say. Yes. well, I mean, it's taken us a wee bit but we've, you know, completed a first season. So how about that?
Pats on the back.
I know, pats on the back.
Yes.
This has been quite the journey, right?
It has indeed. Yeah, it's been a fun journey with a lot of learning and unexpected things happening. And I've really enjoyed it.
Good. So I think it's fair to say you and I have engaged in a number of sort of off mic conversations, mm-hmm. which I think is actually the point of why, you know, I wanted to create a podcast like QC in the first place, because you can go on a topic and then you and I have often started with like, okay, let's review what we're going to talk about. And the next thing we know, before we go and review that, we've had like an hour and 15 minute conversation.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, I don't know. I said, you know, unexpected things, but I think it's more just, you know, opening up the conversation and seeing where it goes.
Indeed. So today we're going to actually pull back the proverbial curtain and we're going to fill you in on how this whole thing began, our origin story, if you will. So with that preamble set aside, let's get the ball rolling with questions. Paul, do you have any questions for me?
I do have some questions. Are you open for some
right,
questions?
I am. Laid on me.
wonderful. So, okay. So my first question, I suppose, would be a three-part question. But so I wanted to know, was there an impetus or moment when you knew that you wanted to create a podcast? Mm. Secondly, did you know what you wanted the podcast to be about? And finally, were there challenges in coming up with topics for the episodes? If that's not too much at once.
No. So I think I had been toying with the idea of a podcast for a really long time, actually. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a component there where you just go, oh, God, not you too, because it seems like everybody has a podcast, right? So the thing was, I didn't really endeavor to pursue it because at that time my work situation was really intense and I was also in a state of exhaustion. And I just kind of felt daunted at the prospect of having to undertake something like this, you know, especially given my, you know, penchant for perfectionism, if you have not noticed, Paul.
No, not Yeah.
I'm working on it. I really am. So okay. I think
better than the opposite.
Yeah, it's better than the opposite. Thank you. You see? So I think I knew fairly early on some of the topics I wanted to cover. And I think that the reason was, like, first of all, selfishly, they were interesting for me. You know, B, I didn't say an A, but that would be the A. B, I hope they would be interesting for others. And then I think C, because, you know, I found that when I was looking around about how these topics were covered, some of the topics that I was interested, how they were covered, I often just felt sort of disappointed by how things were framed. And I had the sense that there were details missing, or there was like a connection that wasn't being made. So I would finish listening to either, not necessarily a podcast, but even something maybe that was on a documentary or a news or something like that. And I would be like, ah, you know that feeling where you're like, okay, I'm not sure. I was like, don't quite know where to put my finger on it, but I just feel like things are missing. And sometimes it was very clear what was missing. So I had some specific topics in mind. So burnout, for example. And at the same time I was thinking about this, I also wanted to be mindful about how things were presented. And we talked about this, especially in the early stages, sort of straddling the line between an engaging discussion, questioning, probing, and providing all sorts of, you know, interesting context and salient information, especially, you know, wherever claims were being made. Yet at the same time, I wanted to avoid the trappings of sounding really rigid or academic. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I didn't want it just to be chatty without a lot of substance and with many, many filler words, which tends to often happen in conversation, such as, you know, this one, you knows, a lot of you knows, something that is hard to avoid sometimes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I just was really aware that these were the things that I either wanted or wanted to avoid.
Right.
And I think that's something we talked a lot about sort of in the early stages of the podcast, right?
Sure. I mean, as we have joked probably several times and earlier that, you know, just what the world needs is another podcast. Having said that, I knew that I've known you a long time. You've always had a fresh, a unique and engaging style. And you're welcome. You've always had a lot of an interesting perspective and a lot of good things to say. So
thank you.
I knew, you're welcome. So I knew that you would make it unique in your own way. So. Yeah.
Thank you.
I felt it was worthy of another podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I knew that these were sort of the first set of challenges and considerations. And I knew that I wanted to engage people to think about maybe topics that, well, I mean, they're topics that I was interested in, but also I think are probably in many ways relatable, you know, whether we're talking about sleep or toxic work environments or, you know, things that really kind of get under a skin. But I wanted to look at it from a perspective that gets overlooked and see how actually those interrelate to some of the bigger topics, so even the more contentious topics that are at the fore, because I do think they impact our life and they impact how we think and how we do things, even if we're not consciously aware of it. So I wanted to give people the opportunity to be in on the conversation and to carry that conversation on and to be able to say, yeah, these are actually topics that should be given their dues and give us an opportunity to reflect and rethink.
Sure. Yeah. With so many things being related, I like that angle of, you know, not sort of beating a dead horse in the sense of all these topics that are done ad nauseum these days. I knew it would be fresh and unique.
Thank you. So I think I really wanted to try and approach, and even topics that we think are banal, if we talk about sleep, and we talk about it in a conversation all the time. We've said that before. You and I talk about this, sure, when we have a normal conversation. Sleep is often one of the first topics we talk about. But what we usually tend to do is say, oh, I slept really poorly last night, or I didn't get enough sleep, or something disrupted, you know. So what we don't do is go, what is this? What could these things be connected to, other than, say, the obvious?
Sure, sure. It's something we talk about every day with, but it's like you say, it stays on the surface. Yeah. So it was good to go a little deeper.
Yeah, so I think my way of thinking is always like, why is it being overlooked? You know, and this is again my propensity is always to say why, how come, especially around topics where I notice that people, I've often noticed that people around me either didn't seem to consider it unless it lent itself in a conversation, which meant that usually I had to sneak it into a conversation. Or if the opportunity presented, I mean, I wouldn't be just randomly. and so, you know, the history of two sleeps, it just would be a bit awkward to bring that up randomly.
I thought we were just going to the movies.
Somebody would be like, would you please pass the green beans? Yes. And you know, the history of two sleeps, which would be an odd thing to bring up and slip into the conversation there. but when it did come up in conversation, what I noticed very often was people turning to me and just slightly perplexed and going, oh yeah. Or, you know, I hadn't noticed that. I'd never considered that. And I was like, wow. Because I guess for me, I was like, that's the first thing I noticed.
Right. Yes. Yes. That's very observant, because just that alone told you right there. So that's something we can go into a little further.
Exactly. Those are things we can sort of expand on. And I think part of it, my questioning, part of my, you know, what compels me to naturally ask why around a lot of things and sort of a natural curiosity, that question to me is also sort of correlated to, is it just because people aren't encouraged to be engaged with what's around them? Is it just, you know, that we're feeling overwhelmed with things, or, you know, just trying to keep our heads above water? Or do we say that we're not interested in something because we assume that these sort of, you know, mundane, daily, banal things are just part and parcel of our lives? If you're willing to dig beneath the surface, it requires, you know, it requires us to open up our perspective differently. It requires us to engage with different bits of information that may upend how we're used to thinking. So, yeah, and I think for me, the key was, you know, because I like to ask all these questions, then I like to research, you know, and so when thinking about the podcast, really, I thought, okay, how do I take these large swaths of information? Because it can be really dizzying, all of the details, a variety of sources and perspectives, and then threading them all and synthesizing it, I hope, in a way that is easier to grasp and connect to, whilst at the same time opening up the conversation and making it engaging, you know, hopefully with a few laughs, so that we can actually go, okay, we are kind of wired, you know, we are wired for certain kinds of understanding, conditioning. And when we get information that jars it, that upends it, we kind of want to push it away. And this is the underlying aspect to that is about sort of being conditioned or being indoctrinated, because the funny thing is when we're talking about that, you know, being indoctrinated or conditioned, we have this also funny tendency to think that this happens to other people, right? Other people get indoctrinated, other people get conditioned, other people aren't aware, other people have cognitive dissonance. And I think we rarely consider, oh, maybe I could be having that. And it may not be about everything. It may just be about a few things where I'm having sort of my selective understanding or conditioning. So anyway, I veered off on yet another tangent, but the point is that I think when you know something, just like the same way when you see something, you can't unsee it. When you know something, you can't unknow it. So you have to do one of two things. You either pretend it doesn't exist and you sweep it under the carpet, or you go, okay, this is new. This is interesting. This is going to change my perspective. And go, oh, but I've also learned something new, which is really the whole point. I think it's the whole point for me, because obviously when I'm working on these topics, I have some cursory knowledge about it. But, you know, when you begin to dive deep, we're also learning something new along the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you 100%. Know? For sure. For sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, most people are overwhelmed and, you know, just getting through the day. So when they've got a moment to rest, we often turn to our phones or our computers, and that's a great distraction, but it's also a great way to have our head down and not really pay attention to what's happening. So,
yeah,
I think it's you don't want to go there as far as, you know, some of these tougher discussions or deeper dives.
Yeah, and that's a curious thing for me, though. I go, why don't you want to go? It could be really interesting, and it could just, like, one door leads into another. And you may not know what's at the other end, but it may be like really amazing. It could be really life-changing.
Sure. Well, I have to thank you. Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to say I have to thank you for broadening my horizons in a lot of ways. Yeah. You definitely, some topics I knew peripherally, but hadn't really gone too far into, because I was into what I was into, you know, in my free time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to learn about what I wanted to learn about. So, but this whole process has made me look deeper at other things that, not to say I wasn't bothered with, but, you know, they weren't on my radar necessarily.
They weren't on your radar. Well, I'm really, really pleased. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being interested in what you're interested in.
No.
I think it's normal. We all have our preferences. It's just that I happen to be one of those people who's got like a really broad range of interests.
Sure.
So
would you like this in alphabetical order or by genre?
Yeah. And then, you know, the things that I'm interested in, and obviously certain things are more surface, you know, certain things I'm curious about, and I go, ooh, what does that mean? You know, I've been always that kind of person, and then I'll start reading it, and I may just go, oh, all right, and it's fine. Like, my curiosity has, in that regard, has been satisfied. Other times, it's literally like you start with one query, and the next thing you've known, you're like, you've lost half a day.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I think also we all have a certain amount of energy we can put out or put towards things every day. So once you reach your limit on some things, you kind of check out on others. So,
although I do wonder whether that's also just sort of a way to cope with information that you don't. It's a way sometimes, I think, for us to cope with feeling like it's information overload, rather than, I think, going into something and going, I can take little bits of information, and when I'm satiated or when I'm saturated, I take a break, and then I will come back to it again.
Right.
And I think that's the way to approach things. The problem with everything surrounding our easy access to information, and, you know, the way we utilize that technology to get that information, is that we think we need to become like AI and absorb it all in one go and get it all in one go.
Yeah, I think I've learned a bit of that. It's, you know, something I'm somewhat interested in. Yeah, I'll take a look. But and then I go, you know, when I have time, I'm gonna look further into this and read more about it. And sometimes those end up being some of your favorite things. And then other times you say, okay, I've learned a little bit about that, and, you know, we'll see.
Interesting.
Move on to something else.
Next time I'm at a dinner party and somebody says, pass the peas, and you go, yes. And by the way,
right. By the way,
standardized. Let's talk about standardized time, shall we?
I was just gonna say, what are your opinions on daylight savings time? Saving time, I should say.
Saving time. But that would be a great way to, like, throw somebody off and engage them at the same time, I think.
Sure, absolutely.
You just have to do it with a little bit of panache. You'd be like, oh yes, these petit pois are lovely. By the way, how do you feel about standardized time? They'd be like, what? Yeah. So the other challenge, obviously, that I had was sort of I had this pervasive feeling and seeing it. And we've talked about this idea of awakening, which is such a very big, broad brushstroke of a word. And I think you will see it and hear it, especially if you happen to listen to other podcasts or read articles, and they all seem to touch upon the subject from a variety of angles. Yeah, so I think there's a component, you know, there in running through all the episodes, and I think it's important to sort of consider the weight of that word, because there's strata and there's layer to it, especially to the meaning that we ascribe to it. For many people, it's all just about spiritual awakening. For other people, it's holistic. You know, there's all components, mind, spirit, body, and for other people, still, it may just be a connection of mind and body. You know, they may not relate to the spiritual component, and that's fine. But I think, you know, when we are looking at that word awakening, it's very much an individual process, but it's also a collective one. And it's not something that happens, I think, smoothly, nor does it happen concurrently. It's a challenging process. There's a lot of sort of, you know, two steps forward, one step back, another two steps forward, three steps back kind of thing. So I think it's certainly a theme for me, and it's an undercurrent theme, again, you know, in our episodes, even if it's not really overt.
Right. Yes. No, I think the growth and wisdom, it doesn't always happen in a straight line, as you were saying. And one day, some days you sit back and you go, you know what? I think I've come to a new understanding on certain things without, you know, with it being in the subconscious.
Yeah.
And it's a nice feeling. Sometimes you go, yeah, you know what? If I think about what I was thinking about 10 years ago to, or 5 years ago compared to now, I sort of like where I've arrived here.
Yeah. That's a really great feeling, I think. You know, I think we always feel that somehow we have to drag the identity of our past with us in a way that we think, oh, well, then I'm not, if I don't keep it, then I'm not being authentic. But I'm like, if you've not outgrown certain things, if you no longer think the way that you did, even let's say 5 years ago, if your perspective has changed, why wouldn't you own that and be okay with it?
Absolutely. I'm very glad that I, you know, there's certain things I left behind. There's certain things that I've hung on to, you know, so
yeah,
100%. There you go.
Adulting 101. yeah. So I think the other thing that we were, you know, looking at when we're looking at talking about some of these overlooked topics and beginning to sort of unpack sort of the contextual framework, the history, or even sort of the politicization around some of these things. The thing that I think you and I were both in agreement about were what we don't want to do is become sort of clickbait, shock value sort of approach.
Of course not.
Yeah, and I think it was really just a matter of taking the topics and themes within our episodes. How can we weave that and make them connected to some of the bigger conversations, even some of the more contentious, hot topic conversations that are already underway, but connect aspects of these things, even if they're sort of more subtle and maybe not quite as overt, but for us to be able to have that conversation and gain new perspectives and change and shift our ideas and mindset where it serves, even if it's counter to whatever narrative we might have been previously used to.
Yes. Very wise, my friend, very wise.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm trying, and, you know, it's a work in progress, like everything. And there are times when, you know, I think like everyone else, I have to go and check and go, oh, is that just my own bias? And that's fine. We're all going, you know, we all have our own biases, and things are never 100% objective. There's always going to be certain kinds of subjectivity, certain kinds of preferences and value systems that we might have in place. And that's valid. But I also think that if you are ready and you're open to new things and you're suddenly recognizing that there are things that just no longer serve you, that no longer reflect who you are or how you think, they no longer resonate with you, then you should be able to take on new information, gain that new perspective and change and just make that a part of who you are in the present, right?
Absolutely. Right. And I think anytime I see or come across something, whether it be a podcast or whatever it may be, anytime somebody comes off as knowing it all and being perfect and this is the only way sort of thing, I'm immediately turned off and run the other way. So
you have to do it this way. And I'm
it
like,
wouldn't be no, us. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think ultimately what you really want to do is to be able to provide a compelling argument, salient details and information, and let other people make their own decisions about what resonates and what may not resonate with them. And that's okay. That's not within my control, and nor do I want it to be. But ultimately, it's really what I really want to be able to do is just to get people to have a listen and go, oh, I'd never really considered that, or that's really interesting, and that's really engaging. And like we've said already, just carry on the conversation. Yeah, and that's really about it in a nutshell, in a very, very big walnut shell, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for letting me ramble on.
Walnut shell. That's good.
And I think that's how the whole thing began.
Yeah, no, it's just, it. You did ask me if I wanted to be on or to create a podcast, and I said, sure. Yeah. Without really thinking about it too much.
Clearly, I was working my magic in the background, Paul. I was working my charm and my panache.
That's it.
I hope I've answered all three of those questions somewhat. So now on to you, my friend. And I know you've just sort of kind of answered this wanting to do a podcast. I may ask sort of more in depth, what reservations or concerns or considerations did you have?
Sure. So, no, I thought it sounded like it could be fun to help in the creation of something. I always enjoy collaborations, and especially with a talented person such as yourself. Uh-huh. So I was like, sure, why not? You know, I knew that between the work that I had done, I'd never done a podcast, but I thought it would also be fun to learn how to produce and create a podcast. But I thought, you know, with whatever other work I've done, whether, you know, editing and visual arts, audio, et cetera, I knew that we could figure it out. So like I was saying earlier, I thought you had a lot of important things to say, and I thought we could get some of these ideas recorded and maybe get your ideas out there a bit further. As I was saying, you bring an engaging and fresh point of view. So I said, you know, in the spirit of collaboration and doing something, I thought it would be a great idea. I really didn't put a ton of thought into what it would become. Yeah, I just said, all right, yeah, sure, let's go for it. And I didn't look too far ahead or focus too much on any big picture or the mountain of work that would be ahead of us.
Right.
I did. You know.
I was just right. Like, oh, there's so, I was like, well, yeah, sorry. I'm just going to sort of do a side note. Like, because I had already ideas for some of the topics, I knew that some of the things that I was going to talk about were going to include a hefty amount of referencing. Mm-hmm. So I had my, you know, 4,000 tabs. Oh, no, it wasn't quite that bad. But yeah, there was a lot in the way of bookmarking.
Just 3,000, right?
Just 3,400. I mean, come on.
But who's counting?
Who's counting?
Right. Yeah, so I didn't really look too far ahead. I just have found in life, especially when I was younger, I would get overwhelmed if I tried to think about the whole thing at once or look at the whole, you know, climbing the whole mountain. So yeah, I just looked at the next step and, you know, what we needed to do. How would we record it, being that we live, 8 or 9 hours apart?
Correct.
So how we could go about that. And as far as concerns, this might sound funny, but it actually didn't really occur to me that I would sort of be on air. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm a behind the scenes person. I can figure this out. We can figure this out. But yeah, I honestly, when you brought it up, I was like, oh yeah, okay.
The whole point was to ease you into it.
Right. There you go. Yes.
So, what do you think, or what would you say were some of your sort of the bigger challenges for you that you faced in sort of in the early stages of making an episode? I mean,
so I would say some of the you know, the bigger challenges were, one, coordinating our schedules, living so far apart, and when we would do the recording, it was generally mid-morning my time and after dinner your time, so I'm still waiting for the caffeine to kick in and to get ramped up a little bit, whereas, you know, it's your winding down, getting closer to bedtime. So so that was a challenge. You know, another challenge for me, I'm generally used to working in person on projects, whether it be a shoot, a commercial shoot, whatever it may be, a video, an infomercial, a commercial, an event. So I'm used to being there with people, you know, in real time. So that was a challenge. Another thing for me that was a little tough was it could be sort of the research and learning about issues. And you were very helpful with this and give me a lot of pointers, because it's honestly something I hadn't done since school. But, you know, so I originally need to say, okay, let's research these. Here's some articles to look at. And I would basically give you a book report back. this article says. But you sort of...
I have read the article. Thank you.
Exactly. So, you know, I would, but for me, it was also a process of learning more about these subjects that I didn't know very much about. But, you know, you also pushed me towards, you know, the conversational aspect of, you know, what can we glean from this, and how could we talk about this in an engaging way?
Yeah.
So that was a challenge. It's just something I wasn't
used to. But you took it on, Paul. I remember early on, you were like, what is she asking of me? And then I was like, okay, Paul, I don't need the summary. I'm like, what do you think about? Like, what are you? And then there were these sort of more probing questions, but you got there, you know. It was just sort of making use of a way of doing things or approaching research that you probably, like, you know, you hadn't done before, or you hadn't done in a really long time. So it was just a matter of thawing out, really. And but, you know, you got there. You know, once the old engine was warmed up.
Thank you. Yeah, so there was definitely a learning curve there, but I also, you know, found a lot of growth from that as well. And as I was saying, some of these things were on my periphery, but I wasn't too, they weren't so deeply on my radar. But yeah, so I definitely learned how to research on some of these things a bit better, and you know, have a conversation with you about them. So yeah, so that was sort of a great thing to get better at, hopefully. And yeah. So, you know, the other thing would be just, I'm, you know, if we're just hanging out with friends, or, you know, I'm perfectly chatty, but I can be a bit shy. And I'm not the person walking around the supermarket on speakerphone or talking to themselves in the aisle. I'm like,
are you not? Going,
do we need bread? So hopefully that's gotten a little bit easier. It definitely has gotten a little easier for me over time. So
sure.
Those were definitely some of the challenges, and it's just been a great experience, you know, broadened my outlook on society and the world. And I'm not only,
it's amazing.
You know, thank you. Yeah, no, thank you. So it's, you know, I'm not only listening to guitar podcasts or sort of photography podcasts or scouting locations for photography podcasts. So
yeah,
it's definitely broadened my horizons. So that's been great.
That's fantastic. I feel like I think per episode you can just kind of see the progress and our sort of relaxing into what we're doing and being able to really make it a lot more conversational, you know, which is really what we wanted to do at the beginning, but it just took a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I think we, you know, we may have had an expectation starting out of when we would start releasing episodes, you know, so I think we had to learn going through the process and having production meetings ahead of time instead of just jumping in like, hey, we're going to record. It's been good in that sense.
And speaking of production, I'm going to ask you another question, and then, you know, feel free to turn the tables. I obviously asked you to create the theme music for the show, and that was one thing where immediately I was like, "Would you like to?" And your eyes went like, "Bling, yes, I'll take on that challenge." Challenge accepted. I shall fulfill the quest. And because obviously music, writing music and playing music is definitely in your wheelhouse. So I knew that I wanted to create something that was unique to our podcast.
Right.
So I'm curious to sort of, for you to just sort of share your process, what this was like for you, because it's different than just sort of playing music in a band or, you know, playing music with lyrics. So,
Yes. No, I was excited when you asked me. And, you know, once again, you know, I wanted to lean on my strengths. So that was something I felt I could bring to the project. So, yeah, I was excited for the challenge, and we had a good talk about, and you gave me some really good examples of not what we wanted to copy necessarily, but something like an energy or a vibe mm-hmm. that we wanted to have. So mm-hmm. yeah, you gave me some good direction there. And from there, I just, you know, started creating some tracks, and I knew I wanted to improve on certain things. You gave me your feedback, and you were like, more guitar. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can do that. And you know, you've got to get all the levels right and
yeah.
mixing right. So yeah, so we had an original, I guess what you could call it, a demo. And then I tweaked that a bit, and then maybe
a bit,
another
Paul,
time or two.
You know, I know I'm a perfectionist, but a bit, I say this winky winky, that's a bit a lot.
Right. Yeah, so after you live with things for a bit too, you can kind of say like, all right, yeah, let me do something else. So it was a lot of fun, and it was also fun to have a project or a reason to put down tracks,
right?
a goal.
And it came out really perfect for me, and mm-hmm. you were able to really produce something really great. And I think I'm really glad that we have something that's just unique for our show.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So,
yeah. So are you ready for another question?
I am. I lay it on me, brother.
Sure. So, okay. So there are definitely, you know, some through lines and some connections between the episodes. So is this something you had thought of ahead of time, or is it just something that naturally flowed? Did they naturally flow into each other?
I think... Well, when I first sort of talked to you about the podcast, I already knew like at least the first three episodes what I wanted to cover, because they were all related or interrelated with work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kept on thinking, okay, I'm burnt out. I know this. And what is the significance of this? Not just sort of on the professional burnout, but what is the significance of this in a broader scheme? And mm-hmm. I know that I wasn't, you know, I knew that I wasn't alone, and I knew it wasn't just because of the pandemic and the past years, those very, very tough years. And I just knew that I felt like this had been like an accelerant, like a catalyst for a lot of people to take a moment to go, well, what am I actually doing? You know, so there was that component. And I also really wanted to, I think right. I really wanted to sort of examine this and really sort of look at this in a broader context. What does it mean? How do we ascribe value to things? Why is this so problematic? Why aren't we really having a much more meaningful discussion about these things rather than the usual sort of lip service that I think I read and hear about?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was quite prevalent. And then there were other topics that were of interest to me. And I think, you know, particularly when we talk about sleep and time, and I just saw there was an immediate correlation there. And then if right. you really look at work and sleep, you can see a thread there. If you are exhausted, very often it seems a contradiction, but very often if you are super, super exhausted and burnt out, you actually have very, very poor sleep.
Mm. Absolutely.
So I saw this correlation. And then when we were looking at sleep, I saw, well, sleep and time have a direct correlation. So we have a component of time that is about how we value time, how compartmentalized everything is. And then we have an external factor of time that's imposed on us. Right. So I definitely saw a thread there. Even sort of our rant session, I could thread it and see, like, ultimately what we're really making are our commentaries about social behaviors or behaviors of people, particularly in public spaces, shared public spaces, where you notice things and you just go, what? Why do people feel okay to behave in a certain way? It's not just simply because some people are oblivious. Is it a release valve? Because there's so many other things in their lives that they don't feel they have agency, they don't have control over.
Mm-hmm.
They know you won't say anything. And we have the technology, we have the internet culture, you know, all these kinds of factors that impact. And so I felt like those thread in.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
So shall I throw the ball back,
sure.
the question ball back to you? so okay. So this is a good question that we could ask each other, actually. If you could go back to any of the episodes and there was something to add or something to change or something that you wish you'd done differently. And I know 2020 is always hindsight. But if there were, which episodes and what would you have wanted to add or expand on or change?
Yeah. Yeah. So absolutely every single episode, there are things I'd love to add and there are things I would love to take away. You know, I could have, maybe spoke about some of my own experiences more. My burnout is probably a little bit different doing independent contractor work as, I'm not somebody who deals with the burnout of showing up at somewhere at 8 a.m. every day and being miserable till 5 or 6 p.m. But I'll have a project where I'll be a week of, 12 to 14 hour days and I'll have burnout, but it'll be, sort of over when the project is over and then I can, try and catch up. So, I think just in general there, I could have added more to the sleep in my own experience, sleep topic in my own experience. But, I would just say overall, the main thing I wish I would have known early on is just to relax and just to breathe.
Yeah.
I was obviously, as I was saying, very nervous sometimes. I wasn't used to working through a video. The only sort of Zoom, Skype sort of things I had done were during the pandemic. I get together with friends, let's have a drink and say hello, so getting used to that and just breathing. Just breathing, not being so nervous, it's nobody's, judging you, or I think I just, it was just uncomfortable and it took me a while to get more comfortable. So just relaxing overall. So not it's like, oh, is it my turn?
I remember there were a few of those. I was like, and what about you, Paul? And there would be about a five second delay. And you're like, yes.
Indeed.
Indeed. And then I think, once you realize, you're like, oh, there is no real pressure.
Sure. And even if I'm not an expert or half of an expert on a topic, you can still talk about it and you can still say,
absolutely.
I'm not sure. What do you think? So I'd like to learn, or this is something I'd like to learn more about. So I think I would put pressure. Well, I don't know very much about this. So it's like, and you, are there things you'd like to add or retract?
Oh, yes. So many. Like you, hindsight is 2020. But I think, okay, I'm going to touch upon a few episodes. So I think when we were talking about episode 2 with toxic work? I think episode 2 is toxic work. And we were talking about the whole issues about what makes work environments often so toxic. And one of the things that I'd wish we'd had a way to sort of add in, because we were often just talking it from the perspective of people being in jobs and people sort of leaving jobs as a result. But one of the things that I really wished to have included was not just that part, but even the whole cycle of applying for a job and how taxing and time consuming it is. And that regardless of all sort of the various job seeking platforms that are out there, at the end of the day, you just feel like you're in a bidding system.
Right.
And you and I have talked about this, and this is also obviously speaking from personal experience, but I have loads and loads of anecdotal experience from friends.
Absolutely.
And how this itself feels toxic, because it is. It's just you're miserable. It's like it creates despondency. So
the toxic before the job syndrome.
The toxic before the toxic. Exactly. So it just feels like, with the exception of a few areas, there's the entire process of applying for a job, the application process. It's just like a one-way street, right? That to me is already toxic.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely not a two-way street.
Yeah. And I also, the other thing is that, I still don't understand why in this day and age, employers just refuse to provide a salary bandwidth or range. And, one can be flexible. One can say between this and this, negotiable for the right candidate. And instead, they always ask the applicant what the desired salary is. And that's an obvious means of weeding candidates out. But I think it's unfair. And it's also assuming that an applicant doesn't know or hasn't done their research about what kind of salary to expect for a particular role. And, you know, also where you're living, you know, corresponding to where you're living and what sort of the national average might be. So it puts people sort of in this kowtowing sort of mechanism of like, oh, I'll ask for less.
Right, which, you know, plays right into their negotiating hand.
Correct. And then when if you are willing to accept for less and then you get the job, guess what? You're going to get double the workload. Because that's just so these are the things that I think then ultimately create that toxic work environment. So it would have been great if we had included it. I'm including it now.
Hey, there you go.
But there I mean, I feel like it's that's certainly one thing. I think in burnout in our first episode, which is always the most difficult one, right? Because retrospect, you just kind of know what you would have done differently. So I think I would have probably made a few changes, a few tweaks here and there. But it was a launching pad. And so we could improve from there. I mean, I was nervous too, Paul. You know, I was nervous too.
Sure. Absolutely. And there's a point too where we can, you know, you have to live with it and go on as well.
Yeah. And then the other episode that was really interestingly, it was very interesting for me, but it was also challenging, was episode 7, which was sort of my solo standalone episode. I was like, okay, how do we do a conversation when it's just me? I had to kind of make it more of like a story time. And I think I actually really do like podcasts that can be narrative and have that sort of conversational component to it. But it's again, it was a really expansive topic. And I wanted to be able to dig in a little bit further and understand. But that meant first for me to dig in a lot and then sort of whittle it down, you know, to its essence so that we could fit it into our preferred time frame. So that was really quite a challenge, and also make it interesting. So in this case, in this particular instance of Ups, because I wanted to create that sort of, come with me, it's a story time, let me take you back to the 1800s, I ended up incorporating sound. Sort of sound effects.
Love it.
Which was really a lot of fun. I think I might have told you, I spent a long time on like Pixabay. I'm like, I need to find the perfect grandfather clock sound, you know, the perfect steam train.
right. Yeah. Part of the learning journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's been fun to watch it along the way and learn from it and grow from it and hopefully fall into a good place.
Yeah, definitely. It's a work in progress. And we took a little bit longer. It's fine. We are where we are. And I think I'm still really proud because I think loads of people talk about wanting to do it and then they never do. And at least we did it. And I think the production value is also pretty good.
Yeah, no, kudos, my friend. Absolutely. You should be proud. You've created something very cool here. And it's really fun and an honor to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. So any topics or ideas in the near future you'd like to consider for QC2?
Yeah.
Season 2?
You know, one thing we haven't touched on, and it's sort of a, you know, hotly debated topic these days. And, you know, when I first started hearing about it, I was like, I definitely had an opinion on artificial intelligence, AI.
Yes.
You know, especially being someone who likes to create images.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you think about photographers, artists, graphic designers, animators.
Musicians,
actors. It's like, you know, what is this all about and why are they trying to get rid of us? So I think AI is something that we could definitely talk about. And I was saying, you know, looking at it from the creator aspect, I know it can be used for a lot of positive things. I know it has its use and it's here. So there's definitely a lot of angles to look at. So sure. that's one that comes to mind. How about you?
I have loads of ideas, Paul.
You do.
I know you're shocked and amazed. whether we will get to them in, you know, season 2 is another matter. But I think in in a way, it's correlated to AI, but I would be really interested in looking at digital ID and CBDC, so digital IDs, what this actually is about, and CBDC, which is a central bank digital currency, which is a sort of one world currency, really, in a way, breaking down what this is versus what it's not about, and, you know, all the various sort of, unfortunately, very real and nefarious context around these. But so rather than going, aha, you know, this, like Chicken Little, the sky is falling kind of response to it, rather than having that, I think having an understanding about, like, well, they're actually basic everyday things that you and I can do to go, actually, no, thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like there'd be a lot there and a lot of value.
There's a lot there. Yeah.
And, you know, for people to learn what this is all about, because it's coming.
It's, yeah. And also to be able to go, well, we can also decide that no, on completely, like completely different end of the spectrum. I'm really interested in, as you know, I have an interest in sort of the botanical world and gardening and things like that. But one of the things that I think would be really fascinating to talk about is the world of communication between plants and fungi and trees and sort of just looking at this and an entire world of communication that up until very recently, even though there were botanists and there were people who studied ecology and go, yeah, actually plants communicate with each other. And people were like, no. And now we're like, several years later, that thing has proven to be true. And it's really, really, really fascinating stuff.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah. And then one other thing that I would really love to talk about is the resurgence of aesthetics in architecture and why sort of modern buildings and a lot of modern cities are actually really depressing and alienating. And then comparing that to areas that we always find beautiful and are naturally gravitating towards, because there are certain things that we're drawn to and components which are really aesthetically pleasing to the eye. So I want to talk about a little bit about this resurgent movement of putting the art back into architecture.
Excellent. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so you are there's no shortage of topics with you, my friend. So I'm looking forward to it.
So Paul, before we wrap up in earnest, any other questions you want to throw at me?
Actually, yes. One thing that I was going to ask you is, I did editing on the earlier episodes, but at some point I was quite busy with my day job. So you stepped in and became an audio editor yourself. I was going to ask you how that experience was for you, and if you're enjoying it, and how does it inform the podcast or your writing of future episodes? I'd just like to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I certainly have a new respect for audio editors everywhere, sound editors, editors in general. I do a lot of writing, editing, which is also very labor intensive. It's like, but you have to be sort of detail oriented. But I think when you're actually doing it, you gain even a better understanding and a deeper respect for it. And I have to say, and we're not paid in any way, shape, or form, but like really massive shout out to Ali2, which is the platform that we use for making this such a really seamless experience.
Right.
So I think that they just have so many great integrated features. For me, I think I ended up doing a lot of post-production. So sometimes there was a lapse of time between what we may have recorded and what we ended up publishing. Now, again, massive shout out to Ali2, hashtag Ali2, for helping that become a reality. But you still have to do the work. You still have to put in the time. And it's really easy at least for someone like myself to be,
right.
I'm just going to go have a tinker for about 45 minutes. And next thing you know, it's like five hours of your day has gone.
Right. No, it's very impressive program. And you showed this to me. You said, you know, I think I could take a crack at some of this editing.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed with their program. And shout out to them. And shout out to you, my friend. Great stuff.
Well, then, yeah, indeed. So on that, we will be back in 2 shakes and with a final takeaway or two. So please stick around, if you will. Welcome back. Hi there, Paul. How are you doing? Did you take a little break? Did you go for a walk?
I'm well, thank you. I did. I went for a 5 to 10 minute walk. I did a few jumping jacks, some breathing exercises. All good here.
All good.
Yes.
For those that might not know, Paul is making a reference to our very first episode on burnout, in which the so-called experts from the Forbes Council. What was it? The right. Forbes Council of Coaches. This was their recommendation to tackle burnout.
For a small monthly fee. Yes.
Of course.
But I'm curious, so it's all good.
That's excellent. I'm glad. I mean, it's amazing what some 50 jumping jacks can do.
Yes. I'm pretty tired now, actually.
that's a good thing we're winding down.
Good.
So with that, one of the things that I think I innately knew as I was coming up with these various topics for the podcast is that you can indeed thread them together and see how they kind of intersect or interconnect. What do you think, Paul? You're able to see all the connections now between
the feelings. Yeah. With your guidance, I can see them through.
With my trusty guidance.
That's it. No, absolutely. At one point, it made the light bulb went off, and I said, I can really see how these are all connected.
Even if the topics kind of seem, at first glance, unrelated, then you can begin to see little threads. You're like, oh, yeah, I can see how that threads into the next topic, into the next bit of conversation. And so for me, these have been the underdog topics deserving of a good space for, consideration and discussion. And like many, I like me a good underdog. I like me a good underdog. What about you, Paul?
Oh, sure. I'd agree. I mean, who doesn't like a good underdog, right?
I know, right?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting and unique way to look at some of these issues, shining a light on some of the more dimly lit topics. You could look at them as underdogs, for sure.
Yeah.
I think looking outside of our own sort of expertise or purview, what we already have a decent grasp on, things that may be a little more outside of our realm, gain new perspectives and hopefully some growth. So,
yeah.
I did mention earlier that you have a fresh way of looking at these things. So
oh, well,
you?
Thank you, Paul. I thank you very much.
I didn't
really know that I had a fresh way of looking at things, but I think I just always have a tendency to inquire and go, I wonder why that's this way. And when the answers aren't satisfactory, that just sort of causes me to dig and go, that's just not, there's got to be something else there, right?
Right.
So, and I feel also that, at its best, conversation is said to be an art. I think that's very, very true. And there's very much something to that.
You're
so
welcome.
If any of our listeners found themselves engaged in a conversation just after listening to something we touched upon in any of our episodes, then I feel really grateful that what we have covered has resonated with you. We too are learning. We hope to continue to improve our format, our style, and expand our content along the way. So, yeah, with that, Paul, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. And thanks so much. And tell a friend or two.
Or three.
Feel free to share these episodes. And thanks for being here.
Indeed. Thank you so much for listening and for your support. And stay tuned for season 2 of QC, which is already brewing and percolating in the background. There'll be a few new things afoot, including, hopefully, more storytelling episodes and maybe even a guest appearance or two or three. In the meantime, as always, keep those gray cells churning, the conversation going, and goddess speed.